Happy Tuesday!
Blog Talk Radio.
Jeff, Karen, Kat, are you ready for this
U-C-R.
One?
U-C-R.
Go.
We say and what we want, give it to you non-stop. Any place, any time, not afraid to speak our mind. That's just the way we roll, we never gonna go. Unstoppable, original, uncensored radio.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. This is No Rules Just Like, your favorite No Rules radio show, bringing you the latest and sometimes controversial topics that you want to know about. We are your hosts. I am Topher, as always, and I have my best co-host ever, Christian, with me. Christian, how was your weekend?
Weekend was good. I am alive. I survived St. Patrick's Day, and it appears you did as well, so that's a good start. Good start to the week.
Yeah, it really is. How would you do for St. Patrick's Day?
Well, the actual day, not too much, you know, being on Sunday, and I had to work bright and early, so after running a couple of errands, met up with a couple friends of mine on, just for a couple of drinks, and then got home for dinner with a girlfriend and hung out till bedtime, you know, with work so early, didn't get to play too much. But the day before, that was really when the city celebrated, so we went to a big party in one part of town, a block party kind of scenario, which was a lot of fun.
Wow.
Got to hang out with some friends of ours who had a table because they're going to be opening an up-and-coming coffee shop. So we hung out with them while they were selling their drinks to people and just had a good time. Kept it pretty low-key, nothing crazy, but that's the better way to do it, I think. How about you? How was your St. Patrick's Day? I know you had a different way of celebrating,
especially
early on Saturday.
Yeah, we did. Matthew and I decided that it was time for us to expand our family, and we went.
You got pregnant! Woo!
Fuck you.
But no, you're not pregnant?
No, not pregnant. Not pregnant, everybody. Just to put those rumors to rest, I am not pregnant. But we went to the Charleston Animal Society, which is a great organization for cats and dogs and that's some rabbits. And Matthew and I actually adopted a 4-month-old little puppy.
Even better than being pregnant.
It really is. It really is. She is, she is the love of my life. I absolutely love her. Her name is Willow. And if, for those of you who are not following our Facebook page at facebook.com/NoRulesJustMike, all one word. And if you like the page, you can see pictures of said Willow and all of her adorableness. She was a feral dog. They found her on the side of the road, and you know, aww, they picked her up and they took care of her and they spayed her. They took care of her little girl parts. And they put her on the floor Friday afternoon, I believe. And then Saturday around noon, Matthew and I went there and we saw her. And, well, I saw her. And she was kind of crouched in the corner in the back. She's very dissociative. She didn't look at anybody, much like the other dogs. When we walked up, their tail kind of wagged. And she, and you know, like, they come up to the front of the cage, she'd contest them. She didn't. She kind of stayed in the back. She's very timid, according to what everybody, all the volunteers and everybody that worked there was saying. So, of course, me, you know, I was like, I have to hold her. I have to see her. So they brought her out, and she kind of hovered in the corner the entire time. But Matthew and I got a really good vibe from her. We're like, you know, I think we can do this. I think we can get her out of her little, timid and shy phase. Just because she was on the street and she was, you know, afraid of pretty much everybody. When we got her home, she was very much the same way. And then probably about an hour later, her entire personality changed. And now she's playing and she's, you know, rolling on the floor with Matthew and I. She's outside rolling in the grass. You'd never guess it was the same dog. So we really made the right decision.
Awesome.
She's a shepherd. Shepherd Rottweiler mix.
Okay. Yeah, I saw the pictures you put up. I don't know who else did, but she looks like she's got some pretty big paws. I think you're going to have a pretty big dog when it's all said and done. Is that
yeah.
Right?
But I'm okay with that. Yeah, I don't want a small little yappy dog where, you know, when the doorbell rings, you hear, no, I don't want that. I want a dog.
Yeah.
And she's
definitely
living up to the name.
Uh-oh, she's a little barky?
No, she's not barky. That's the thing. She's
going to
be a bigger dog, so she's already kind of like the quiet one, and I kind of like that.
Gotcha.
She's adorable.
That's one good thing about being a little timid is, you know, a little quieter. But, you know, I'm sure once she gets used to it and continues to grow, you know, to love you guys even more than she probably does, she'll get a little bit more protective, maybe a little barkier, but it's a good sign that she's not yet.
Right. I'm saying in the next couple of weeks that you and the girlfriend and your dog Remy and Matthew and Willow and I all meet up at the James Island dog park.
I definitely agree with that, and I know our puppy Remy absolutely agrees with it. He loves playing with other dogs, so yeah, I'm definitely down. And one of our listeners, Burson, I don't know if he's in there today, but he has a puppy as well named Marshall. I'm sure he would like to tag along, and then we got some other friends with puppies. We could have a huge puppy play date.
I love that. And if anybody else is in the Charleston area, or if you guys want to come to Charleston for no reason, just to, you know, go on a dog date with us, you're more than welcome to.
I do put out on the first dog date, so let's put that incentive out.
Oh, it's not all you can put out, baby. All right. So we have some really, really interesting news, or some really good news. Interesting is not the best word, and some really awesome news. A very good friend of mine.
Woo! Oh no, we're done with the pregnancy thing.
A little bit.
Are we sure the pregnancy is not part of the? Okay, all right.
Well, I mean, you're more likely to get pregnant than I am, so
I'm not sure. How, not me personally. You just mean my situation.
That's what I mean.
Okay, all right. I was gonna say I don't know why I would be more likely.
Really?
Hey, I didn't know where you were going. I didn't know if this was a bit or something. I was just trying to go along with it.
No. Because you were dating a girl, you're more likely to get pregnant than Matthew and I are.
A girl, you say?
Girl.
Hold on. Let's go over this baby thing real quick.
No, we're not doing that.
Just walk me through it.
Nope.
I'm still a little confused.
The door comes, shuts the little thing off at your door, rings the doorbell, and flies away. That's what happened. So
my parents didn't really ever have to talk. Could we just let's just go over it real quick. Just give me the highlights.
No. If anybody wants to give Christian the 411 and how to make a baby, feel free to do it on his Facebook page, which is Facebook.com/ what is it?
I don't even know.
Really? Okay, never mind. You can catch him on Twitter, which is at FCNG225. Good night.
Also, going back to the dog thing real quick, I have a Twitter message, speaking of, from Burson, who says he's not in the chat. He is listening via the phone, apparently, and he said that him and his dog are definitely down for doggy play date. So let's get this thing going, and whoever else is out there, let's do that.
Hang on one second. His dog has a Twitter page?
Oh, yeah, it has a Twitter page. Has a Twitter page. I'm sorry. Marshall.
Marshall, the dog, has a Twitter page. That is
He is
funny.
Really good at typing. It's shocking how good a dog is at typing. He is fantastic. So Willow has a lot to live up to.
Apparently,
if I'm not mistaken, Marshall, my Burson's dog, is also part shepherd, if I'm not mistaken. So, yeah, maybe he can teach her how to type a little better, you know?
Anyway,
what were you going to say before I so rudely interrupt you with this pregnancy talk?
That's right. I'm crazy.
An announcement. Another announcement.
Yes, another announcement. A very good friend of mine who is an author, he wrote a book probably about six
That's
months
what
ago.
Do.
It's called Task Force Gaia, Finding Balance, Volume 1. It's a sci-fi, almost like Greek mythology type of book. It's very, very good. I've already read it twice. It's an amazing book. He's in the middle of writing a second one, and we're actually going to have him on the show next week. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to post the link in the chat room. So if you guys want to pick up the book or you guys want to kind of check it out, you are more than welcome to do it. And then that way you guys are up to date on what we're going to be talking about next week. I've known David for probably about, probably about 10 years now. He and I met actually in an AOL. I know, don't make fun of me. It was an AOL gay support chat room when I was about 17 years old.
How great were those AOL chat rooms back in the day? Those things were awesome.
They were really cool. When you found a chat room that was not about online sex or anything like that, it was actually really good. I've met a lot of really awesome people from that chat room, and I'm still in contact with a lot of them. They really kind of helped me through, coming out and going through the whole thing with my mom and my dad, and just being able to wake up every morning and be happy with who it is, who I am, and what I see in the mirror every day. But as good friends do, we kind of grew apart. The chat room kind of dissolved because AOL kind of dissolved, and we all went about our lives. But thanks to Facebook, which is one of the very few things I'll say positive about Facebook, is that we're actually able to all kind of reconnect. A lot of us anyway are still kind of keep in contact, and we still kind of have our own little LGBT group page that we still kind of post things now and then. But David's somebody that I was really close with, because he was just a really good guy and was very insightful. He's an English teacher by day and an amazing author by night. So I think that you guys are going to really like him. I think you guys are going to love his book, especially, all of our sci-fi lovers that's out there. And I know that a lot of us are. I know I'm one of them. I don't know about Christian. Are you into sci-fi?
Not really. I mean, I don't mind it. I'm just not a huge sci-fi person. But it doesn't bother me. I can watch sci-fi movies, and I'm going to dive into his book, and I'm sure it's going to be good. But I'm not a huge sci-fi guy.
Yeah, he uses big words. I'm going to say that. It took me a little bit to...
big words, like big regular, just English words. Or is it like made-up sci-fi, like planet themes, stuff like that? Or both?
Very few of that. Just like if you took your SATs and you did pretty decent, I think you'll be able to get most of the words. But there were some that I was like, hell is he talking about? What is that word? And of course, I'd have to Google it. I'm not gonna lie, there's no shame in my game. I'm smart, but I'm no English professor or author by any stretch of the imagination. So sometimes, every now and then, I have to pull out the old dictionary.com and figure out what a word means, and then I know it, and then I'm smarter. So tune in next week, next Tuesday, at 8. For David Berger's interview with his book, and I hope that you guys pick it up, and I hope that you guys go to our Facebook page and tell us what you think. So that's my plug. I'm very, very excited to have him, and we're going to be promoting throughout the entire week with him. So if you guys have any questions for him, you guys can shoot us an email. It's at norulesjustmike@gmail.com or our Facebook and Twitter pages, as you guys already know. So without further ado, let's go into our headline news. What do you think, Christian?
I agree. And I would just like to say before we do that, that I appreciate Christopher Ramsey in our chat room, even if he didn't mean to, even if he wasn't trying to be funny. When we were talking about AOL chat rooms, it reminded me of when people used to go in there and put, A/S/L for age, sex, location. that's how you would like start. So I put that in there, and then he responded. He was the only one who responded. I was like, yeah, so at least someone paid attention. I'm sure everybody saw and was just like, okay, that's stupid. But that was the funniest thing. That's always the funniest part. Remember, well, besides like the AOL like logging on and all the, the stuff that went on with that, like all the noises and like, oh, you got to try this other extension and this other exchange. This one works so much better. They just released it. And all the stupid AOL talk. It just, just cracked me up remembering all that stuff.
How funny you thought you were when you lie
in those chat rooms and good times.
Yeah, they had what was called hosts. They would have like a host of a chat room. It was like a decent chat room and not one of those like M for M ones or M for F or F for M or M for F or S for M or
either of those things.
You know,
Craigslist now. They still have that terminology for like their personal ads. Yeah, you like male looking for female and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, let's talk about Craigslist just a little bit. I'm
okay.
terrified of Craigslist, okay? Cause of,
you should be.
Some, you know, oh, let's hook up, and then, you know, you end up in a refrigerator without your kittens. I'm fine. I'm good, you know. I saw Punky Brewster. I know not to go into a refrigerator. but I find it very funny. Like, I think it's called Misconnections. I think that's what it's called. Misconnections and Misencounters. You know, they're like, you know, it's a long shot, but, you know, that guy in the black Prius with the dog paws on the license plate,
he looked really hot.
And you know, I thought I felt, you know, I know we were looking at each other through our windows before the light changed color. Tell me what kind of car I was driving so I know that it's you. Just like weird, random shit. It is so funny. It is so funny. Everyone's funny. I'll pull it up. Those are funny.
Yeah, there's ones, I think they fall into the personal category. I don't know the official title. I remember they were there, and I would, you know, with friends and such, we'd read them and get a kick out of them. They went away for a while. I think part of it was because of, like, the Craigslist, you know, killing stuff. And the other reason it went away was a lot of, like, prostitute services on or something. So it went away.
Oh,
but apparently it's back. These, like, personal ads that are, like, extreme, well, I don't, not extremely, but, you know, for, you're on Craigslist looking for a new computer or something, or television, or, you know, a used dresser, and, you know, you got these, you know, graphic things that'll pop up. You know, on my website that I run that has to do with Charleston, I had a listing of, there's a film festival in town, so I put up the listing of all the show times for all these independent films. And I was on my website, and it tells me, like, when people, what websites people come from to get to my site. So, for instance, Topher, if you put my link to my website up on the my blog talk, or what was it, myuncensoredradio.com. If you put that up there and five people clicked on the link that went to my website, I would see it. Five people came from myuncensoredradio.com. So I noticed I had a few views coming from Craigslist, and I was like, why the hell are people going to my website from Craigslist? So I clicked on the link that it came from, and it was the personal ads, and this is how I found out that they were back. And it didn't bring me right to the list for some reason. It just brought me to the main page. So you're seeing all these, like, guys looking for girls, and if you click on the ads, there's, you know, naked pictures, or almost naked pictures. I don't think they could put full nudity on there. And it was just like, a lot of it, you're like, I didn't need to read this. But long story short, some guy had linked to my article about the movie Times was trying to score a date.
He was trying to score a date to the
movies, so he posted a link to my article about the movie show times. Like, he was like, hey, who wants to catch a movie? Here's a listing. And he was using my website, you know, to show the listing. So that's where it was coming from. So, of course, I was like, well, I kind of got to get this guy a date. Apparently, he checked out my website. So I posted on my Twitter account. I was like, hey, I figured this out today. And I went through the whole story that I just went through in Twitter form. And posted
right.
the link and told up my followers about it. And one girl was, like, totally game. She's like, well, I'll at least contact him for you. So she contacted him and went through the whole process of, you know, doing the whole picture swapping thing.
Right.
He seemed like a normal enough guy, but we were pretty concerned that he was going to be a murderer. So we decided, even though it would have been funny for my website, we decided not to let her go through with actually meeting this guy. And it didn't happen, but... I don't know, that was just my interesting Craigslist story that I just thought
that's
of as we were doing all
funny.
That. Mm-hmm.
I'm terrified. I'd be terrified to do that kind of stuff. I don't know. Well, probably because, you know, one, I'm married,
like,
but two.
Stuff, but, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we have, my girlfriend and I bought a house, as I mentioned. We've had it for a couple months now, so we're getting rid of a lot of old crap, like, you know, like the crappy stuff in the house we didn't want. So we put stuff up
right.
on Craigslist. Some stuff we were like, hey, this crap's free. Come pick it up at the corner if you want it, and people just would. But there's a couple reaction interactions where, you know, we got money for, like, an old table and stuff. So it is
right.
a little unnerving. You really don't know who's going to show up. You don't know if you should have them come to your house or if you should meet somewhere else. It's a little weird. So I don't blame
yeah.
you. But when it comes to that Neat. Stuff, it's a lot easier than eBay, especially with big stuff, because you can be like, bring your car. It's totally your responsibility. I want nothing to do with it.
Right.
But, yeah, it's a little bit scarier.
I bet it is. Wow. Yeah, I couldn't do that either. I'd probably do, like, the whole, the shit's on the side of the road if you want to come pick it up.
Yeah.
But I don't think I would can actually have somebody come to my house. Or I would go to, like, a very well-lit place. Like, I say, meet me in Target by the electronics section where there's a lot
right.
of people, and we can do the exchange yeah. there. How about that?
I'll be the guy, I'll be the guy next to the police officers, the security guard.
Yeah. Yeah, that. Oh, God, that's funny.
So, long story short, AOL chat rooms better than Craigslist.
Yes, it is. I've met some really awesome people there. Still keep in contact with them, like I was saying before. But it said, you know, AOL had to go anyway, just because it was
yeah.
becoming obsolete. But it's good that I can still see these people and kind of interact with them and talk to them
yeah.
on a daily basis through Facebook. So there's that.
And one of those people is Mr. Berger, who we'll see next week.
Yes, I'm very, very excited. I'm very excited to have him on the show. Slight change of topic, but Toku actually was kind of mentioning, he was like, well, why are we still talking about this person? You know, they really need help, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, they're a fallen starlet, but I still have hope. I'm still Team Lindsay Lohan. I have to be said. She's finally getting the help that she needs, though. According to me online.
Is she, though? Is she?
Well, she is. I think she is. I hope
she doesn't have a choice, right?
Well, not at this point. She is, let me pull up the site. But apparently she pleaded no contest to the charges that she was served with probably a few months ago or so. And she is going to serve 90 days in a locked rehab, which means that she cannot get out. And then she has no reason, she will not be able to leave for any reason. Ian Line is saying that she has 30 days of community labor and 18 months of psychotherapy and fines, and to give fines and restitution to the victim. Apparently this is from the car crash that happened last year. So, well, you know, what I find funny is that, you know, here's Lindsay Lohan, who had, you know, this big thing going on in June, and it's now March of the following year, and now, you know, they finally made a deal about this. It's, you know, if it was anybody else, I mean, it'd be kind of, you know, lock, stock, and smoke and barrel. You know, it's happening right then and there. But I find it's interesting that with celebrityism, that you can really kind of just push things out. Or I don't know if you guys remember, she was in jail a couple of times, and they're like, oh, she's going to spend 4 months in jail, or oh, she's going to spend this X amount of time in jail. But apparently, you know, the L.A. jails are conveniently too full, and so they let the nonviolent people go, and she was only in jail for, like, 26 hours one day. She was only in jail for, like, 34 minutes the next day. You know, I hope that they actually keep her in this rehab facility for the full 90 days and give her the treatment that she needs. She needs to not be around her parents. She needs to not be in the spotlight. She needs to not be in the bars. She needs to get the help that she needs, because I'm going to promote it again. She has really, really good music when she's not, you know, coked out of her head, and, you know, she's not stuffing her lips with a bunch of crap. And she, when she has her head on her shoulders, she actually has some pretty decent music. Her movies, but, you know, that's to be said for that. But what are your thoughts? You know, I know that we've talked about Lindsay Lohan before, but can this really help her? Is this going to revive her career? Will she actually serve the time, or will she get off? And is anybody really, really rooting for her at this point?
It's not that I'm not rooting for her. I'm not actively rooting for her. You know, I'm not like, come on, Lindsay, and like cheering and really hoping and thinking about it during the day. It's kind of like whatever. But, of course, I always hope people get better and get their lives together. No one wants to see anybody, struggle or have the kind of issues that she's had. But I'm not actively rooting. But, yeah, I hope everything works out. Do I think it will? At this point, no. I know that a lot of people, when it comes to rehab, the first time doesn't stick for the vast majority of people. I wish I had prepared more because I had looked into this previously and saw the actual percentage of people who go to rehab, like how many more times they have to go. One that comes to mind is Anthony Kiedis of the Red Hot Chili Peppers. I read his biography a few months back called Scar Tissue, and he had gone to rehab so many times, like definitely over five, and I don't remember the total, but it was crazy how many times he had gone. So will this do it? Probably not. Will she stay the whole time? I would imagine, because this is like a court order thing. This isn't like a jail sentence where she can get out for good behavior. It's not even like she will, you know, she's not willingly going there, you know, so she could kind of be like, I don't really want to do this anymore and leave. When it's court ordered like this, I think she will be there the whole time. So that definitely can't hurt. I was listening, and also I don't want to forget the listeners because they're the reason we have an awesome show. Shirley is on team, you know, she wants to root for her, but and she wants people to leave her alone, but she's just not sure, you know, it's tough. And also Christopher Ramsey said that no matter what happens, they need to keep her stupid father away. His actual his verbatim quote, but I agree. I mean, the guy's crazy. I guess after she was sentenced yesterday, the lawyer was given a press conference like outside or whatever, and he came, like, running up and was, like, screaming at him how, like, Lindsay shouldn't have to go to rehab. It's his fault because of something he screwed up and, like, just screaming. Like, this father's mad because his daughter has to go to rehab. Like, she clearly needs it. And he's super yelling. I know, just a crazy guy. But, yeah, I hope so. You know, you never know.
If I may.
Yeah,
if I may, guys. I mean, seriously. In my viewpoint with this girl, you know, how many times have we tried with her? I mean, how many times has everyone tried with her? She was, you know, she has the potential to be a very good actress. She has the potential to be a very good musician. The problem comes down to the fact that she doesn't really want to put in the effort. And honestly, I don't think this time in rehab is going to matter because she's just going to skate through. I mean, 90 days, 3 months. She could, for all we know, she could just stay in her room and sleep the whole time and not get any treatment whatsoever. I mean, court-mandated stuff is only court-mandated to be there. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to participate. Yeah, it may say participation mandatory, but she could play off the, oh, I feel sick to my stomach ploy and get away with it scot-free.
Right.
I don't feel like this is going to work. I'm hopeful that sometime in the future she can get her shit straight. I really am. But I don't think that's today. That's just how I feel. I mean, I don't think it's now. I think in a couple of years, maybe, but not yet.
Right. Well, here's the thing. You know, she's 26 years old now. You know, she has the potential, if she goes down this spiral path that she's going down, you know, she could end up in the 27 Club. You know, she really needs to want to do this. And 90 days is a long time for you to be kind of locked up in rehab with other people who are kind of going through the same thing that you are. Because I think it's what's a good word? The energy's there, and you can't help but be absorbed into that also. I've never been in rehab, but I think that everybody's energy kind of affects other people. Energy is definitely transferred from one person to the other, whether they want it or not. I think I don't think that she's going to snooze her way through this. I think that she's definitely going to have some eye-opening revelations. I think she's gonna hopefully see a lot. But it's not the 90 days. That she'll be there is going to be the important part. It's the 90 days after she gets out. You know, that's when she gets to decide what she wants to do with her life. And she can fuck up like she has been in the past, and follow the same road again, or worse, or she can say, you know what, this is exhausting. I'm tired of this. And,
you know,
make the changes
and
to do something different.
I want to make mention to something that Allison says in the chat room. I know you can't see the name Allison, but I know it's her because of that coloration. but she said if she fucks up anyway, no matter what, she's not going to be given parole again. She's going to go directly to jail. And you want to know, in my honest opinion, and I know this is harsh words to say and it's really mean, but
what?
maybe serving a 6-month sentence in county might do some good, because
it won't. And here's the reason why. She's mentally ill and she has an addictions problem. Going to jail is not going to do her a bit of good, because she's not going to get the therapy that she needs.
Well, and
jail seems like the easy way
saying,
to do it, and she'll be away. But I mean, it's not gonna do her a bit of good of getting sober and getting her head back on her shoulders instead of up her ass where it is right now.
What I'm saying is, okay, jail doesn't give you any treatment, true. But the fact that you're locked up for 6 months and revoke all chances of having good time or anything like that, but being locked up for 6 months and basically have no privacy for that 6 months, I don't think that would be a bad thing, because maybe what she needs is to not have privacy, because isn't that where she was doing all this shit in the first place?
Yeah, that's a point. That's a good point. But, I mean, she's had many, many attempts of having a stint in jail, and it never came to fruition, because, like I was saying earlier, the jails were too full, and she was let off within anywhere between, I think it was like 43 minutes to like an hour, or I'm sorry, a day. I mean, I'm just saying, jail's not going to be the right thing for her. She needs rehab. But I hear what you're saying, and you make valid points. But so I just hope that she gets the help that she needs. If nothing else, that we can just stop talking about her, because I know that people are tired of hearing about, what did Lindsay Lohan do again? What did Lindsay Lohan do now? What did Lindsay Lohan do, I'm, as somebody who's definitely on her side, just because I'm not going to say it's not her fault, but she really had a kind of a shitty upbringing. You know, I think that everybody has the ability to change, and that everybody has the ability to learn from their mistakes. But even my thread is getting kind of set. So I hope for her sake that she pulls through with this and really changes her life, because I think the majority of the people who were on her side are really just kind of giving up at this point. And that's kind of sad, because she had so much potential.
She had it all going for her at a young age, which is what a lot of people say is a problem with a lot of celebrities. And, yeah, you're right, just had it. Like, everything was going her way, and now she has all these issues. The plastic surgery or whatever she's doing makes her look, like, 20 years older than she actually is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a mess. But it's Hollywood, and she is not alone. And, you know, you got other actresses and actors before her, currently, and, you know, after her. And one of those, it came out kind of later. I think it just kind of flew under the radar, but Lil Wayne, you know, people have heard about him having seizures, and he had another seizure, and they brought him to the hospital. I don't know if you heard this. This happened
what?
Recently.
Yeah.
Wow. And he was in the ICU, intensive care unit, out in L.A. You know, and I'd heard about him having seizures on planes before, you know, like in the pretty near past. And I didn't think too much of it. I just, I felt bad. I was like, something's wrong with him or whatever. Well, I guess it's coming out now that he's been getting treatment because it's suspected that he overdosed on codeine. And that's why he's in the hospital. So whether it's an intentional overdose, trying to get high kind of thing, a mistake, who knows. But, yeah, TMZ, so take that for what it's worth, is reporting it. But, to be fair, TMZ usually – they do a better job than some of those old, rags you used to read in the supermarket,
the National Enquirer and stuff. So who knows? But they, you know, they're saying they broke the story about how doctors had to pump his stomach at least 3 times after he was experienced severe and violent seizures. And yeah, he's been in the ICU since last Wednesday, so we're approaching a full week for him. They've actually he's not in the ICU anymore; he's in a regular room. He's been in a hospital for almost a full week. Yeah, so you know, a story that was kind of like, oh wow, you know. It kind of turned around when TMZ is talking about him getting his stomach pumped. It was that severe of a codeine overdose. So, I don't know. Lindsay Lohan is not alone, for sure.
Right, right. And, you know, people can say what they want about rap. I grew up in the 90s. You know, I was born in 82, but, you know, 82 to 92, I was all of 10, you know, through that time. It was, you know, 90s music that really kind of shaped, you know, my influences and what I liked. I wasn't big into the 80s music. I am now as an adult because it's, you know, it was, you know, the decade that I was born. But the 90s music was what really hit. And, you know, it's, you listen to rappers like Biggie Smalls and, you know, Tupac. And, you know, they were pioneers in their own right. You know, they really kind of they paved the way for people like Lil Wayne to even have a career. I prefer the old rap compared to this new rap because it's all kind of synthesized. But Lil Wayne's, I think it was not his last album, but the album that came out before that was actually pretty decent. He's a pretty handsome rapper. You know, he's really good about how he raps, and it's not about, you know, smack the bitch in the face and, you know, fuck her in the ass. It's not about that kind of stuff. It's actually pretty decent music, and it's really. Some of it's kind of entertaining to listen to, and this is coming from somebody who doesn't like a whole lot of rap.
So, now, you know,
when you want to hear good rap, you want to hear it. Yeah.
Number one, he does have some of those songs that you mentioned, but you're right, he does dabble in other stuff more, you know. But he does have those kind of, you know, disrespectful to women, you know, all that kind of stuff. Or a rapper doesn't. And also, I saw a few people posting, you know, some other news saying that he was released, and I double-checked. He was actually released earlier, let's see here, actually yesterday, 8 p.m. Pacific time is when the story broke. So I was fast asleep and didn't catch up on the news today, so I apologize for that. But he was released today. So after a day or two of being out of the ICU and in a regular room, he was released yesterday night. Nonetheless, yeah, that's great. Nonetheless, what they reported before about the overdose still stands. It'll be interesting to see, you know, what he has to say about it. Those who have seen the fairly infamous video where he was being questioned over a crime previously, the police interrogation video, or I guess it was more like lawyers talking. The defense lawyers were talking with the prosecution with him present, and they were asking him questions. He was like the biggest douchebag in history. They're like, hey, do you recall this? And he'd be like, I don't recall that. You know, he started out just whatever they would say, he would repeat back to them. But then he's just like, he would just answer questions like such a douche. Just, I wish I could remember some of the exact quotes and how he would like pose questions like, you know, back at the prosecutors, just like being a complete dick about the whole process, which I get. People want to do that. But to me, it didn't make him look very good. But that's kind of how he is, because he was a rapper. He's been a rapper for a long time. I think he's about 30 right now.
Yeah.
But he, same thing. He got money quick. He was a teenager, a young teenager, I believe, when he was with No Limit Records, you know, Master P and all those guys back in the late 90s, early 2000s.
I remember them.
He wasn't as big as some of those guys were back then, and he's got a hell of a lot bigger possibly than they were at that time. But, yeah, like,
yeah,
that whole crew, like Soak the Shocker and Juvenile and He was kind of part of that group, and he's obviously got all that shadow now. So he's had money, and he's been in the spotlight for a while. He's kind of the same thing. He's kind of a douche. You know, he's good at, you know, something in the entertainment industry, but he's not a very likable guy.
You know, you're not the first person, and, you know, a lot of articles say that. He does kind of come across as being kind of arrogant and just – I think ungrateful is a good word. I think just kind of the way that he presents himself, he's kind of like ungrateful. I guess he feels like it's owed to him, like he earned this, and that, you know, it wasn't. I guess I guess to say that, why did it take so long for him to have a career this big? It should have been sooner. So I guess it was kind of a little chip on his shoulder. I think he probably had like Kanye West syndrome where he feels like he's entitled to everything. That's not necessarily the case.
And, you know, we do the celebrity talk a lot, and it's good to keep it in perspective. As bad as all that stuff is, celebrities addicted to things, overdosing and just being jerks. I'm going to get there, so bear with me on this one.
Okay.
About something that's far worse. But how we're going to get there is we're going to talk about the new Pope that was, announced about a week ago now, right? Forget what day it was.
Yeah.
It was last week. And so the new Pope, Pope Francis. Okay, cool. If people have any kind of opinion on that, I'm not Catholic, so for me, I don't really... have a standpoint as far as I wasn't hoping for anyone. They're all kind of the same to me as far as their beliefs, of course, because, whatever. So I'm interested to see what people think. If you do have an opinion, say it in the chat, call us, what have you, about if you think, what this means, this change in the Pope. Do you think there'll be anything different? Will the church's stance on, gay marriage or birth control or anything like that evolve or change? I think those are all interesting points. But another issue that the church, of course, is going to be dealing with, and this is what I'm talking about, how there's far worse things in the world than celebrities overdosing, is the church's ridiculous problem with child molestation and sex with children. Everybody's aware of it. It's been a running joke for years, which is sad, about how priests, molest children and just are predators. Not all, that sounded like a generalization, but there are I'm trying to figure out the best way to say this without sounding kind of like slanderous. To me, it appears there's a disproportionate amount of priests versus the general population, perhaps, or any other profession where, child molestation is occurring. It interests me what people think about why that is. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's just, because it's a running joke, I'm missing something bigger. But think about it. It's constantly in the news. It's always tons of children, and it's always priests. Now, we hear about teachers who have sex with students, so that's another one. And it makes sense because they are around students all day. So you understand that there's going to be a bigger number of people because the opportunity is more present for these predators, if that makes sense. If you have someone who's around adults all day, it's harder for them to live out these fantasies or deviant behavior because they're not around kids as much. But what is it about priests? I mean, they're around a whole congregation. They don't get a ton of alone time with kids, you would think. Why is that such an issue? It's such a strange thing to me. I'm just curious what other people think, if anything.
Oh, God.
You know what I mean, though?
I hear what you're saying. That's a very weighty question. But the way you worded it is very good. Kudos to you. Okay, so...
I'm always interested in social issues and, you know what I mean? To me, it doesn't...
Right, right. I don't want to get on the religious bandwagon, but I definitely want to answer your question. I think as far as the whole child molestation thing, I think that it's a stigma because it happened. There was a rash of them of incidents that happened a few years ago, and I don't know. It's not accepted. Obviously, it's not accepted. But I think it's. I don't know. It's difficult.
It's a weird thing that I was thinking about. You're right. There was a rash of it. It seemed like a lot of people were coming out saying these things about the priests that abused them, and it never disappeared, though. You know what I mean? It always was kind of, you'd pop up in the news, and it's come to light again. There's been some more scenarios. There's one just recently in the news, including one here in South Carolina, where a former priest of at some church here, who had since moved on, was being accused of, similar accusations or similar crimes. And I know it's sensational because it's going to pop up in the news. Like, oh, a priest, it's going to pop up more than creepy Joe down the street who has a normal everyday job, a priest is a little bit more sensational as far as headlines. So maybe that's part of it. There's
well,
just a very odd
They're a man of the cloth. They're a man of God.
Right,
and,
right. High morals,
you know,
all that.
Yeah, yeah. All that, that kind of falls in line with you know, that whole, for lack of a better term, holier than thou.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So
I don't know. I don't understand it. I don't know if this pope is – I don't know where his stance is with trying to rectify and trying to get – you know, trying to kind of weed that out, or how they would even do that. I don't know. I do
well,
know
the bigger issue
gay marriage,
is kind of like the Penn State thing, where there's that's the worst part of it. Of course, is something like that's happening to children, but
right.
more so it's because it happened to multiple children because a lot of churches had cover ups and things. So that's the issue I think the new pope will run into is how do you make it so there's not this culture of silence and. You know, brushing it under the rug, and you know they'll like release priests like you can't be at this church anymore. And we won't say anything if you just leave, and then priests will pop up in another town, and this whole thing starts again. So you know they don't want the church to look bad, so they're willing to sacrifice. You know, so I think that's what he's going to do.
And that's disgusting. And that's awful.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's awful. But but that also goes hand in hand. You got these people who do these terrible things to children. And then you got people who want to protect the church instead of protecting the children, which completely negates all their teachings, and it's hypocritical, and it just doesn't make sense. It's a horrible, horrible situation. It's just interesting to me how that kind of an institution that prides itself on morality and doing the right thing and, you know, how they can be so corrupt. Not all of them, but enough so that it's in the national conscience that when someone makes a joke about a priest touching a child, most people get it and they accept it. They're like, oh, yeah, priests always do that. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, it's ridiculous that that's people's responses to that.
Right, right.
I know it's heavy stuff, and nobody wants to talk about child molestation and things, but it's just, it was something I thought about because of the new pope, and news have been talking about it. You know, what will they do to try to combat that from happening again, not just the actual act itself, but also unfortunately it does happen, making sure it's not covered up. And it got me thinking, like, why does it happen as much as it does to begin with? You know, I know it happens throughout the country with all sorts of different people, and again, you're going to hear about priests more than Joe Blow, but it still seems like there's a disproportionate amount, and it's just strange to me.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
unfortunately, what's going to happen is it might be something that might be on the list for the new priest. Pope? Is Pope Francis something Italian? Okay.
Yeah.
That wasn't racist. I'm very sorry. I don't know what his name is, but I know that it's Italian. From what I've gathered and from what I've read, and I've read a lot about it and about him. He's already made stances, and he's already made opinions and what his thoughts and beliefs are and what he wants to do for the LGBT community, which is nothing. He is not in support of gay marriage at all. And that's where his number one priority is at this point, because so many states are passing the equal marriage, marriage equality and things like that. It's, you know, I guess with every yin, there's a yang. With every pro, with everybody who's for, there has to be somebody who's against. So there has to be a group of people who are anti. And I don't know if it was you and I that were having a conversation about it, or if it was somebody else. But basically, we were saying kind of like, you know, in 50 years, you know, these people who are anti-gay rights, you know, look how silly you're gonna look. You know.
Right. Yeah. That was civil rights.
Honestly, it's all right, ma'am. No problem. I just know that with some of the stuff I've been reading about the new pope, I'm kind of, how can I say it? Being that I'm not Christian, like Catholic to begin with, it doesn't really bother me as much, but it would disillusion me if I still was Christian to hear the pope talk about, equality of marriage and gay rights and all this is a front to God and all of his plans and woo woo woo. It's like, why? Okay, didn't Jesus say somewhere in the Bible, love your neighbor as you love yourself.
Exactly. But that's, you know, that's the thing with the Bible, too. It's the Word of God, despite the fact that there are multiple, besides the fact it's written by humans, who are definitely not infallible, by definition.
Careful,
only God is infallible. And,
they're
giving their interpretation.
Watch the conversation. I have to watch the conversation. Don't offend anybody.
Yeah. No, I know. I don't want to offend anybody, but I know what he's saying. Is that there are, that's the whole point of religion. It's supposed to be, well, one of the main points, is supposed to teach people how to be a good person and how to strive to be better. I get what that was a greater point. But you're right, yeah, there's a lot of religious talk we can get into, and despite there's no rules on this, I don't want to offend anybody.
That is my one rule. There's no rules except one, and that is
agree. My point being is the fact that, you know, yeah, there's a lot of people out there that are different religious beliefs, and I'm pretty much equal to everybody, you know? The only people that I really, me personally, the only type of people I have an issue with is those that are so bigoted and disrespectful and mean to others just because they believe something different, you know? And that's just, to me, it's like, what the fuck? Why the fuck are you such a dick when, you know, equality will get the world going better, I believe.
Right.
Oh, there's no doubt about that.
Absolutely.
You know, Topher, you made a good point. You know, you were talking about how the Pope, you know, like you said, like, well, he mentioned what he's going to do for the LGBT community, which was nothing. And it always kind of boggles me. I mean, if that's his personal belief, then, you know, whatever. Like Toku just said, you know, people are going to have different beliefs, and even if you don't agree with it, it kind of is what it is. And we talked about Obama when he got reelected. We were like, hey, you know, do you think, you know, it's not a good thing to say, but politics are politics. And he might have said some things or backed off of things during his first term because he, you know, he had to get a reelection. He had to win that. And if he came out too strong for one thing or another, whether it be gay rights, gun rights, whatever, it might have hurt his chances for reelection. And we said, okay, you're reelected.
Absolutely.
Will he come out and be stronger on some of these issues? And, you know, of course, he was kind of prompted by the Newtown shooting to come out strong on gun violence. You know, basically, he has nothing to lose, in a sense. But the Pope, I don't know the ins and outs of it, if a Pope can be removed, you know, or what the process is. But if they actually believe there should be change in the church, why not say something? You know, and maybe the first day or two is not the way to do it. If, you know, that's fine, whatever. You know, understand how everything's going to work. That's a big life change, I'm sure, to be named Pope. So I get that. But what is he afraid of? You know, and again, it might not be his belief. So maybe what he said just is what he believes, and that's going to be the end of it. But if you wonder if there will be somebody who's like, okay, now that I'm here, I don't have to worry about a reelection. I don't have to worry about that stuff. I can change this church or work to change the church the way I want to, whether you believe that's a good or bad thing. I don't know. Maybe that's something that we will see change at some point in time. Probably not with this current Pope. But, you know, you never know. Somebody could get in there. They were talking about someone who was a little bit more progressive getting that position, and that would be a big step forward for, again, whatever it may be, whether it's, you know, gay rights or something else involving the church.
Right. Right. And, you know, I don't want to isolate anybody, and I don't want to make people, I don't want our conversations to kind of be kind of redundant. For those of you who are new and listening, I am an openly gay man. So the LGBT community and gay rights are something that's very important to me. And Christian and I have been friends for, going on 5 years now. And he's very much, you know, pro-gay. So, you know, when we talk about things like this, you know, we don't do it to beat a dead horse here. It's just something that, you know, really means something to us. It's something that I think we're both fighting for. I'm fighting for it because I am it, and Christian's fighting for it because he knows people who are openly gay, and he's not an idiot. and he has an open mind, and he and I know a lot of you in the chat room, I kind of feel the same way. You guys are the future. You guys are the ones that are going to help, you know, stop the bigotry and stop, you know, this really, really ridiculous pathway that was kind of set before us. And, you know, slowly every day, you know, we're making small milestones. So I'm sorry if we kind of talk about it on every show, but it's because it's something that I think that means a lot to us. And I hope that it means something to you, and I hope that you guys are also interested.
I think a lot of our listeners, we've had conversations before revolving around it. I know a lot of people agree with us or at least understand. We haven't had anybody who, at least vocally or whatever you want to call it when you type into a chat room, have expressed any displeasure. But you're right. You know, for me to say that everybody who doesn't believe what I believe is wrong, I you know, as hard as it was for me to get to that point in conversations with you and Matt, is what really opened my eyes up to it when I was like, why don't you guys matter about this? And you guys are kind of like, well, if that's what they believe, you know, that's what they believe. It sucks. I obviously don't agree with them, but for me to get mad at them and to try to silence them is exactly what they're trying to do to us, and that's not right. So I'm putting it much simpler and not as elegant as Matt put it and you put it that day when we were hanging out. Put it in a different light. People can have different opinions and have good discussions, and then, you know, if it's not going anywhere, it's not going anywhere, and so be it. Leave it at that and decide what you want out of the friendship or whatever from there. So I agree. Not trying to, you know, beat a dead horse. However, with Lindsay Lohan, if you're upset with Lindsay Lohan talk, please, by all means, tell us to stop.
Yeah, I'll shut up. I promise.
It's an interesting story. It is.
It really is, and it's kind of unfolding almost like a Shakespearean tragedy, albeit not interesting or poetic or about anything substantial or anything of worth, but just kind of how life, you know, if you're dealt a bad hand. I'm going to do it. All right. I had a rough upbringing, you know. I had a great mom. My father, I know, loved me as well. But you know, it was a rough childhood at times, and it was really easy to, it was really easy to throw in the towel and say, you know, these are the cards that I was dealt, and you know, I have to consider that this is normal. I have to consider that this is just the way it is, and I have to be okay with that. But when I was, I couldn't, even as a young boy, I couldn't, and, you know, I was born and raised on Long Island, New York, a small town called Bayshore. And when we moved, my parents moved down here to quote unquote get away and kind of start over, in November of, 1997. And my father left us January of 98. So, you know, I was lucky that I didn't have time to kind of wallow and feel bad for myself, because I have a little brother and a little sister. My little sister was 7. My little brother was 3 at the time. I was 15. You know, you do what you have to do. You become an adult and, you know, you take care of responsibility. I had to put a lot of my own personal growth and stuff aside. And it probably affected, you know, I didn't go out and I didn't go on many dates for a couple of reasons, but you know, it was that. But do I regret it? No. Am I happier because of what I did? Yes. Am I a stronger person because of the situation that was handed to me? Yes. And the reason why is because I took my path and I realized that this is not the life that I want to live for myself. I didn't do anything wrong. And for me to play that victim is a little sad, because I have the ability to better myself, especially now that, you know, getting out of that situation, I have the ability to be a better person. And that's what I want. I want to be a good person. I want to be a part of society. I don't want to be a hand up. I don't want to be a handout. And I don't want to be a statistic. You know, I'm a gay man living in South Carolina with, you know, a broken home. There are so many bad paths that I could have went down, but
But I have a mother that loves me. I have a family that respects me. I have people who support me. I have great friends. I mean, and you know, after almost 10 years, I have a loving husband and probably the best dog ever. I have a really good life. I'm very, very happy for everything that I've been through, whether it was good or bad. So Lindsay Lohan, you know, just needs to realize that she's fucking her own life up. And regardless of her past, she needs to decide, I'm an adult, and she needs to realize that she needs to figure out who she's going to have in her life and who's going to make her life better or who's going to hold her back.
That's
sorry.
Well said.
I'm sorry.
Absolutely. No, that's okay. Well said. You're right. Everybody is responsible for themselves, and yeah, some people have crappy situations. You got to make the best out of it, and you understand how people can go wrong, but in the end, you know, you are responsible for you, you know. Even if other people screw up some stuff for you, you still got to try to pick yourself up. So easier for some than others. I don't know if I could get through some of the situations other people have been through, but hey, I thought well said.
Well, thank you. I wasn't gonna go there, but I couldn't stop myself. So I'm sorry. I hope I wasn't a downer. I hope that I was at
womp
least.
Womp.
Shut up.
Sad horn.
But that's, I mean, that's, if you guys want to know me in a nutshell, that's kind of it. That's, I mean, there's no pretense, there's no gloss here. That's kind of really who I am. So, I mean, I hope that I didn't upset anybody, and I hope that I wasn't too sad. But that's kind of where I'm coming from. It's crappy to see people out there who kind of shit on their own life because of their past, and they don't do anything to really make themselves any better. You know, case in point, Lindsay Lohan. You know, so when I said I kind of know what she's going through, you know, I kind of know. You know, it's sometimes you're dealt, you know, a bad set of cards. It's what you do with the cards after they fall. Chris Ramsey in the chat room said Miley Cyrus. She's another prime example. I mean, look at her parents. She had a dad who was, you know, for lack of a better, he was a one-hit wonder with a mullet. And, you know, I don't know anything about her mom, but, you know, there's definitely celebrities out there that don't take advantage of their popularity and their fame and do good things in the world.
Absolutely. I don't know much about her situation, and I know it's a little bit different, obviously, because you don't hear about her getting in trouble as much. But, you know, being a celebrity is tough. I don't think, you know, I know we joke about it, like, oh, what a rough life, you know, and I would love to be a celebrity and have all that money. But you don't really know how much stuff can corrupt you and change your moral compass. And when people are constantly giving you handouts, and that's one of Lohan's problems I was going to mention before, is that she still gets all these companies that are paying her for appearances and stuff. Like, she had a private jet to her to the hearing or the sentencing from a company. It wasn't her money because she doesn't have that much anymore.
Right.
But they paid her because she had done some appearance work for them. If she's still getting money and she's still getting attention, she's not going to have any reason to change. And, you know, so, but bottom line, it's just how people adjust to things that have happened to them in life, whether good or bad. And whether it's extremely good things happen to you, it can change you for the worse, this celebrity show as well. But,
exactly.
Well, look at you,
exactly.
Man. You brought us over the 9 o'clock hour here in the East Coast.
I have. Actually, I want to bring Karen on the line. I know we have Uncensored Radio coming up in just a couple of seconds. But, Christian, if you want to kind of, you know, recap, you know, where they can find us and how they can get in contact with us.
Absolutely. Sure thing. I hope you guys, I saw a lot of guests today, and we fully appreciate you guys checking us out, so thank you so much, and a huge thank you as well to our normal listeners. We appreciate you guys coming back week after week. It really is humbling, and it's really awesome of you. Big thanks to Toku as always, but especially these last few weeks where he had to fill in one day when we were having problems and also doing our studio work for us. It's a thankless job, but he's always willing to do it, so thank you, Toku, for that. And the rest of the Uncensored family for letting us do our little show. We appreciate it. Now, as far as where you can catch us, if you're not our normal listeners, we're on Twitter, so be sure to catch us there at No Rules Just Mike.
Hello?
We're all,
Hey, Karen.
What's up, Karen?
Hi. How are we?
We are good.
We are good. You're interrupting my plugging.
I know. I'm like, what is going on? Blog Talk is killing us. I don't know if James or Jeff can connect to the show tonight, but I'm here. We might have to do what you just did to me.
I'm here.
Oh, you're there? Oh, great. Hi.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Right. Everybody's here. Yay. Technical difficulty averted.
That's right. All right, well,
yeah.
The rules this lecture is going to end and let the guilty pleasure take over. So without further ado, have a great night, everybody. Thank you so much. And hopefully we will see you guys next week.
Karen, Kat, are you ready for this?
See y'all later. Have a good show. Guilty pleasure up next.
Go.
We say it what we want. Give it to you nonstop. Any place, anytime. Not afraid to speak our mind. That's just the way we roll. We never gonna go. Unstoppable, original, uncensored radio.
Aren't I happy to be on the show tonight, man? Let me tell you, my name is Karen Ashley. You are listening to Uncensored Radio. We are your guiltiest pleasure. I am so excited to be here. Like I said, we were having a little technical difficulty, so obviously with a live show, you just keep it moving. And it seems like Topher and Christian saved my ass by calling me, so yay! I'm here. Jeffrey, James, how are you gentlemen tonight?
I am so tired.
I know. Jeff, how about you?
I am so tired, but I'm very, very grateful that I didn't eat bison. So,
yes.
to Walter and Blake, bison.
Go out to you, brothers.
Let me tell you.
I was texting Blake today, and he saw your post because, Jeff, you posted something about
saying no to the bison.
Yeah. And so he basically was like, today was the first day he was able to eat a full meal and actually hold it down. So it's like on top of the convention, like, hangover that you have, like, I know this was, like, your second convention, Jeff, but your first, James, you get a convention hangover. It's the weirdest feeling. You're extremely exhausted after it. Like, it's almost like... I don't know what it is, but I think it's because, you know, it's just an unusual situation. Like, you have hundreds, sometimes thousands of people coming up to you all day, and, like, you're on 10 the whole day. So at the end of it, you're just white. So that's what you're feeling
you
right now, guys.
May have been on 10, bitch, but I was on 12. Catch up.
Yeah, well, it is what it is. I thought my fans were happy with me. They were happy my appearance. They were happy with meeting me. So fuck you and your 12.
Well, real quick, go to youtube.com/myuncensoredradio. We have two. Count them, two exclusive interviews, one with Theotis Crane, who was on The Walking Dead, and Nalini Christian. She was on Star Wars?
Yes.
No.
Star Wars.
Star Trek?
And,
Star Trek.
It was Star Wars.
Uh-huh.
And we have a bunch of shout-out videos over there. I'm putting a link in the chat room right now. Definitely go check them out. They are awesome.
Yeah. And so going back to the bison story, we were at a wonderful hotel, which we will keep nameless because I don't want any lawsuits. I don't want anybody calling us. I don't want to, get anybody in trouble. But we were at a really nice hotel. Beautiful Lexington. The people are, amazing. I'm in love with Lexington and all the people there. But this hotel, they had a wonderful item on its room service menu as well as its restaurant menu called Bison Burger, which, first of all, I didn't want to eat a bison. I was like, I'll just take a cow, regular-ass cow. I don't want a bison.
But bison's supposed to be great for you.
Yeah. So I honestly almost ordered that the first night I was there.
Me too.
Thankfully, I got calamari instead. Thankfully. And two of my compadres, Walter Jones and Blake Johnson, had the bison burger. And let me tell you, they were physically ill the entire weekend. So shout out to them for sticking through the convention and, like, actually, like, not collapsing, because I would have just collapsed and called it a day. But they were food poison. I mean, it was, I don't know if it was food poison, but allegedly food poison. Like, they were, like, throwing up and sweating and feverish. And, like, I was on a plane with them going home, and it was horrible because it was a long flight, and we had a long layover, and these poor guys, oh, my God, they couldn't hold down water. Like, it was so sad. And I don't know if you've ever met Walter or Blake before, but, like, to see these two very personable men, like, laid out, it is not a sight you want to ever see.
Like, they looked rough. Like,
yeah.
I didn't catch Walter being sick, but Blake, you know, like, we met at the Morphicon or whatever, so we kind of know each other-ish in that weird, like, you know, whatever way. And, like, mm-hmm. he just came up, and, like, he looked like he was dying. I'm like, dude,
wow.
Are you going to make it? It was
so bad. I don't
know
how they did. Yeah. Like, they were literally, like, sweating profusely. Like, they had fevers. Like, I was, like, feeling their foreheads in the airport, going, go get Advil, go get ibuprofen, take this, eat crackers, do that. Like, I mean, we were all, like, trying to help them out, and they were just, like, laying. And I don't know, I mean, Walter Jones is Mr. Personality. Like, this is Mr. Salsa Chat, Mr. Personality. He was straight up laid up. Like, no personality, not cracking jokes, not laughing, not talking, just quiet. Like, I was like,
yeah,
oh,
I
my
was
God.
The dude that Sunday, wasn't he? Like, he was kind of quiet, not his normal. And I did know, like, he left his table a few times, and I was like, I wonder what's up with that. Because he's so, you know, like, he was there, like, all day Saturday. Like, he didn't leave, you know? Like, he's like, most of you that don't leave. Like, you're there all day, and you're on it because there's so many people.
Yeah, you don't want to, like, leave people hanging, or you don't want to leave them standing in a line. And, you know, so when you do get a little bit of a break, you do run off and, like, go eat something, or you run off and go to the bathroom, or you just kind of, like, sit down somewhere for 10 minutes and just, like, not talk. But, like, Walter literally Saturday was there the entire time. I don't think I saw him leave once. Like, I saw him in the corner eating a sandwich at one point.
Yeah, like,
he wouldn't even leave.
Behind the curtain, that was my favorite thing. And I wish I would have figured it out Saturday and not Sunday. Because what you don't know, like, I went over when they were, like, JDF was packing, they were packing his stuff up. And, like, I went behind the curtain and realized that you could get to everybody's booth from behind the curtain. Because Saturday I kept tripping out because I swear I kept seeing David going behind the curtain. And I'm like, what's this bitch doing? Like, why he keep going behind the curtain? What's going on behind the curtain? And then I found out there was a thing with water bottles behind the curtain.
Right.
I'm thinking this bitch got a secret lover.
Little did we know. We're all starting rumors, and it's like there's the water jug, the water container back there for everybody. We had one right in our little section, so it was like we just go right there.
Looking at those common bastards. I don't know. It was, like, next to me the 1 minute, and then, like, I didn't even realize somebody came over and got it. Like, I was just in our little, like, bubble.
That's the water cooler.
Yeah. It was like, where
do I
water go? I need a water.
I know. But, I mean, this is the thing. Lexington was off the freaking chain. Like, if you don't already know, this show is all Lexington all day. We're going to tell you the millions of stories that we have. My fabulous team, first off, I want to thank on air Mr. James, Mr. Jeffrey, Mr. Joe, Jasmine, everyone who came down for Team Karen. I want to thank you guys because, honestly, I wouldn't have been able to get through without you. You guys were running around there with a chicken with your head cut off. You guys were working so hard. Jeffrey was Mr. Money Man. I can say that this was one of the smoothest conventions, you know, that I've been on, and a big reason for that was because of you guys. So I love you, and I thank you so very much.
Yeah, I do. Otherwise, we wouldn't have done it for you, just saying.
Right. Well, you notice Jeffrey has not told me that he loves me.
I love you, I guess.
Yeah, bitch.
No, I'm so mad because, look, daytime is me time. Nighttime is for your other friend.
Uh-huh.
And you was chatting with your other friend while it was me time. So I was just like, we don't have to do something about that.
My other friend is my 3-year boyfriend, the love of my life. That is not my other friend. That is my main friend.
That's
you are my
friend.
Second friend.
That's your friend.
You're my radio wife, but my in-house, my in-house hubby boyfriend lover is, I'm sorry, number one. He told me to tell you, Jeffrey, by the way. He goes, you tell Jeffrey I don't share.
Well, tell him neither do I.
And he said, you tell him I don't share, so he needs to understand that when I call, you're taking my call. Period. I was laughing. I was on the ground cracking up. Because I told him you were very upset that he was, you know, getting involved on your Jeffrey time.
But listen, I would be fine maybe if he wants a 3-way call me on the conversation and we could have a little 3-way chat or something. But, you know, don't leave me out the fold here. Like, I feel like, you know, him and I, you know, that man, he can sing to me. Oh.
You share a book.
Like, I'm
so
not sure
like,
that him and I actually ever even had a real conversation. Like, even in L.A., I don't remember if we, like, met, shook hands or whatever. Like, I remember seeing
you
him, but I know
me.
we were so
you
busy.
You met at the house.
Oh, I know he was there, but I don't know that I actually went up to him and said, hey, I'm Jeffrey or whatever. Like, I remember you saying, hey, that's, you know. And I don't know that we actually did. I don't remember if we did proper introductions. I don't think that we
did. Yeah, you
did.
I properly introduced you. I introduced all of you. He met you. He met Katrina. He met Joe. He shook your hand. We stood in the living room. We chatted.
Through you. So it's kind of trippy. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I know him, but I don't know him.
Right. No, that's true. That's true. So maybe when he comes with us to New Orleans, you guys will have some QT time. Maybe.
We're
going
to have to. I'll drive down.
You can bond over beignets. How's that?
As long as it's not bison burger, girl, we all
right. Right. As long as it's not bison burger. That's
you know,
damn bison burger.
When I nannied for some folks, they had bison.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what the hell is bison? And I would, like, have
right.
to buy it, you know, when I was grocery shopping. And then I, like, came home and went to cook it one day or whatever. That
mm-hmm.
shit smells so gross. But I'm like, you know, I need to try new things. So I did
yeah.
see it, and I kept saying, like, oh, maybe I should try it. You know, I'm out of town. Like,
mm-hmm.
let's give something a whirl. Ooh, girl, I am so glad.
Ooh.
Oh, thank
you
Jesus,
and me both.
Because I would have never managed through. Like, I'd have been in that hotel room, would have
yeah.
been getting that, have been around.
Me too. I would have been back in that back part, just throwing up, and then walking out going, you need an autograph. Like, it's. Like, I don't do well with food poisoning. I don't do well with alleged food poisoning.
No, well, no, I will never, like...
Uh-oh.
What the?
Uh-oh. Who is it? Hello?
Hello?
Hi, caller. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Oh, hey, this is Lance. I'm calling from Tennessee.
Oh, hi.
Oh, I was
going to
talk
Lance?
About you next.
What's
yeah,
up, man?
I just wanted to comment on the whole bison thing. Like, first off, I want to say, honestly, I'd be willing to go an entire week vomiting constantly just so I can have one more bite of bison. I haven't eaten bison since 2010, and it's absolutely delicious.
Oh, is it? Okay, I'm not saying it's not delicious.
Honestly,
it's I just think they got a bad batch.
Well, it's like your taste buds are having orgasm after orgasm after orgasm.
Oh,
you know this bitch knows our show. Shoot.
Oh, my God.
Hey, it's uncensored radio, and I'm still keeping it tame. So,
yeah.
But, I mean,
well,
but it's like
I'll
Walter.
Tell you. Mm-hmm.
I didn't know Walter was sick, though, because, like, I mean, I'm not
yeah.
going to say much about the After Dark panel, but his entrance, he was still kind of lively, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. That's what I was saying. I was so appreciative of them being, like, they had their game face on the entire weekend. And, like, what was it? Blake was hurting, but Walter all day Sunday was equally hurting. Like, I was right next to him, and I was like, you okay? He was like, I don't know, feel my forehead. Are you okay? I don't know, I'm sweating. Like, it was bad.
Actually, my mom has vertigo, and she started to fall, but Walter actually ended up catching her when she was falling. So I guess even when he's sick, he's still going out of his way for
yeah.
it, so kudos to
Wait,
Walter.
Your mom was there?
Yeah, my parents were there and enjoying it. But it's like, out of all the people to catch my mom when she was falling, Walter. I mean,
Walter, you didn't even introduce us.
Huh? Oh,
you didn't introduce
my
parents.
My parents were out. My parents were out hanging out and stuff like that, goofing off, doing whatever. Me, I'm just there and I'm, you know, browsing around, getting a paper wad thrown at me by Polly. You know.
Right.
Because you were dressed up as Polly. Are you kidding?
Well, yeah. Well, I know. Well, I gotta tell you something that was funny. When I was in line for JDF, JDF was like, "Hey, you should sign for Polly." And my parents actually met Paul and Narvi on the elevator out of all the people. And my parents were like, "Oh, our son's dressed as Paul." And they're like, "Oh, you must be talking about Lance." So they actually remembered my name. It's like, I'm a very memorable person, I suppose.
They were so funny.
They were the highlight of my convention. Being next to them was the highlight of my convention.
I thought the couch was going to come flying through the air.
Huh?
You see how torn up that couch was?
Yeah.
I mean, man, it was they were jumping on it and everything.
I don't know why anyone thought to give them a couch. I don't even know where that couch came from. They're crazy.
Yeah, it's hilarious. You see Polly's Facebook timeline cover. It's Narvi pushing the couch with him on it. Yeah.
Yep.
But
there's a video on Aunt Karen's page. There's a little one that I grabbed.
I gotta see that.
I was dying because I'm like, they've got Polly's on it and he's like laying on it on his stomach, but his hands up like he's doing the mermaid pose, looking over, and Narvi's trying to push him across the floor, and finally it didn't work out so well. You know, Narvi's kind of a little dude, but Polly's lost a lot of weight. But then, like, they switched, and they were just absolutely nuts, and I kept telling him that we needed to sell the couch the last day. Because I'm like, you know, some fan will be crazy and strap the bitch to the top of their Ford Fiesta and drive it to wherever the hell they came from for, you know, like $1,500. And for a measly 10%, I would sell it for them. But, they were
so nice, though. Like, I was in line for them, and Narvi's like, "Polly, come here." Pulling over there, and then Narvi walked up to me. He's like, "No, Polly, come here." And, Narvi wrote on the B on my vest, like, "To kill Skull." And then Polly drew all over the back of it, big face and bulk rates and all kinds of crap.
Oh, my gosh.
But my parents, they got a picture with them. I guess Narvi's wife got a picture of my parents with them. My parents took they had me take the video card or the camera card, whatever it is, to the Rite Aid over by where we were staying. Right off. Had it signed by them the next day. They signed it for free. They told them on the elevator, it's like, "Hey, you bring anything by, we'll sign it for free." And I went by on Saturday. I'm like, "You guys met my parents?" It's like, "You guys met my parents?" Like, "Yeah, they're cooler than you, and it's hard to believe." And Narvi's like, "Yeah, we're getting into your wife. How does that feel?" I'm like, "Well, I've been watching you for 25 years, or not 25. I've been watching you for 20 years, so it's all right." And it's like, "Yeah, well, I'm watching you now."
That's so great.
Another highlight of mine was actually meeting you guys, though. I mean, honestly, because I listen to the show, not as much as I used to, because I'm actually trying to do well in my studying. Not really succeeding that much. But,
we'll derail your studies. We really will.
Yeah, but, I mean, honestly,
you
like,
were the first person that was like,
Jeff.
You recognized me. You were the first one this year.
Yep.
And I was kind
of
like,
tons
of bad trouble.
Right.
Yeah, well, some people thought that you were Blake from Innocence. Like, has Blake put on weight?
Blake?
Literally, you look like a little bit bigger Blake. You kind of do.
There's not a little bit. There's a lot. But, you know what's weird is when I was going down the elevator, and I had Karen's bag and her helmet, like, right around my thing. And, like, you know, there was, like, the dance moms there or whatever. And then she was like, "Oh, are you a Power Ranger?" Like, do I look like I was a Power Ranger?
Oh, wow. Right, you were the Yellow Ranger. I know.
Like, are you kidding?
He's a Rainbow Ranger, and he's proud of
No, I'm Pink Ranger.
Didn't you guys once describe me as a Rainbow Ranger?
Wow. You know, especially I want to be Pink Ranger meet with my new BFF, you know. Don't you know?
Right. He is Pink Ranger meat, because he's going to wear that little skirt Amy Jo used to wear, but, like, his butt cheeks will pop out from underneath. Yeah.
That's all right. As long as he doesn't take some of the pictures like this one cosplayer took, where it was the Pink Ranger I think she was doing Cowgirl on the Green Ranger, like just laying on a bed.
Oh, I see that. I see that nasty picture.
One of the Pink Rangers at the convention was her. Like one of the Pink Rangers and one of the Green Rangers at the convention, that was them, actually.
Oh,
was
you should have pointed
Pink
out.
Ranger?
I would have scolded her. Yeah, there was like 1,000 Pink Rangers.
Well, I only remember one being in the actual, I think her name's Lauren, the one that works with Catherine, and I know she's on Home.
Oh, right, Lauren. Wasn't Lauren. Lauren would never do
no,
that.
No, I know it wasn't. She didn't have
it would
the
be
costume.
Another one.
But there was like a blonde that you took, I made you take the pictures with, the blonde and the green one outside.
Right.
They had like more authentic costumes than the ones,
it
the other
probably
ones.
The,
I mean, the least that I saw.
Probably the Pink Ranger who was all over the SPD Pink Ranger, like they were doing all kinds of scissoring poses and stuff like that.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I'm happy that I saw pictures of that. Childhood fantasy, sorry. Sorry.
Well,
yeah, it was
the
freaky. It was Rangers Go Freaky. That's what that was.
I'm a dude.
Like,
I'm lonely. I'm single. I'm a Power Rangers
fan. I think the conventions are great places, like for you know, for you guys to like hook up and meet like potential suitors, because you're kind of all into the same things. Like you're kind of all into Power Rangers. You're kind of all like going to conventions. Like it's a perfect match. You should have been like meeting all kinds of chicks and like hooking up.
Well, I'm actually working on, like, I'm working with a therapist. I'm actually, you know, getting my self-esteem up before I actually start to.
Next convention, you talk to us. Self-esteem or not, we'll get you there.
I will definitely go over there. All right. I honestly think you guys would be the best wing people, okay?
I'm the best. Trust me. I make hookups and they last forever. I will make you make
unless
it last
I'm already
forever,
with someone.
Really.
Unless I'm already with someone, because I am a one-woman man, so.
There you go. See, that's the thing. That's a good edge for me to work with.
Yeah.
Are you
going
which convention are you going to next? Are you going to New Orleans? Are you going to Houston? Are you going anywhere else?
I'm a college
student,
so I'm broke, so I think that next year's Lexington will be the next one I go to, probably.
That's cool, because by then I'll have all the girls lined up. You tell me what color you want.
You know, honestly, for me, it all depends on the personality. Because if I'm not initially attracted to a girl at first, the personality, that can capture me, and I can end up realizing, oh, my God, she's gorgeous.
Boy.
Happened to me before.
Have mercy.
Awesome. Well, there we go. Well, thank you for calling tonight. You have been a riot. We love
thing.
You long
I'm
time.
I'm so glad I met you guys. All right, I'm so glad
I'm
I met
so
you
glad.
Guys. And, and also, Jeffrey?
Yeah?
Maybe next time more people will get a picture with you, because you're a hilarious guy. And
it's a little trippy for me.
Oh, by the way, I learned that actually that's a good place for me to work for, like, work on getting a PR career together once I graduate my communications degree.
There you go.
I'm the con,
well, thank you, man.
Great talking to you guys. I got to get ready for something anyway.
Okay, bye.
Have a good night.
Love you, long time.
That is a little trippy for me. Like, I'm not used to that yet. Like, it's kind of a little weird. And, like, I think it was Danielle that, like, got snapped a picture of me when you were doing the panel from, like, across the room and, like, tagged me in it on Twitter. And I was like, oh, this creeping bitch. Love
it. Right, this creeping bitch.
That is funny.
Yeah,
I was like,
ooh,
I'm glad I wasn't, like, picking my nose and doing something awful or had, like, an ugly face on, you know? Like, I was just sitting there trying to pay attention to shit.
That's why you got to be on the entire time, because you just don't know what's going to end up on Facebook or Twitter. Like, people will straight put you on blast. They don't care.
I know. I have to say, though, my favorite part of the weekend was our little gossip section. Our little gossip session with your darling friend there, who I love dearly. That was fun. Like that was you two are so funny when you get together. And you were right. Like, it is just, it was like us during the day. Like, when we're just like, beep, 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 beep. You two were like, beep, 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 beep. I was like, ooh,
yeah. Kat is one of those, this is Catherine Chilson that we're talking about, or Catherine Sutherland. She is an amazing friend. And the reason she's amazing is that, you know, you might talk to her every day, you might talk to her every other day, or you might talk to her once a year, but the reality is when you talk to her, you pick up exactly where you left off. And, like, it is the best time ever. The best time. Like, I've had more fun with her than I can say anyone else, just because she's so, like, down to earth, she's so chill, she's down for whatever. Like, she just wants to hang, you know, and I love that. I love that about her. Like, if she's hanging in my room like we did the first night, because I was extremely exhausted after my 10-hour flight to Lexington, or if we're hanging out doing shots at the after-hours Ranger Talk panel, like, the 18 and over panel, I have to give a shout-out to Susan and Melanie. That was amazing. We were doing shots. So. Like, I want to get a paddle, and I want to thank Erin Cahill. She straight bought me two shots of Kentucky whiskey or Kentucky bourbon. It was not good.
And I love that the sober bitch of the show was the one doing Kentucky. I'm still so tired. My mouth's not working. And I didn't think I was going to be. Like, I woke up, drove home. I mean, I was tired. I thought it was just because I was in the car. I got in the house, and I'm like, I really feel like lead. I'm so tired. Like, tonight, I slept from 5-something to right before the show. Like, I'm just wiped. I'm like, what the hell? But how do you all drink and not me? Like, I was kind of pissed because I didn't really drink. Like, I had a few Jack and Cokes the last day, and I had a drink while we were waiting for you, and that's it. Like, it was kind of rare form for me.
Yeah. No, I had two shots of Kentucky bourbon, and let me tell you, it burns when it goes down, honey. It burns when it goes down. Like, we thought that that's what caused the epidemic, the stomach flu that was going around. Or alleged food poisoning, but the rest of us weren't sick. Like, it was quite a few of us that did the Kentucky bourbon shot. It was Erin, it was Jason Font, Catherine, Walter, myself, and I think that's it, right? Yeah? Okay. Narvi was there. No, Narvi was there. So, we all did a Kentucky bourbon shot, which burned like hell. And then we did a second, which I think Jason bought the second round. And let me tell you, we thought that's what caused the epidemic, because Walter was like, oh, that stuff, it made my stomach hurt instantly. And so it wasn't that, because Blake wasn't there. So we were kind of like,
right.
So we figured out it was the bison burger, or allegedly the bison burger. Please don't sue me. Please don't send me letters. But, oh, my God, it was like, I was drunk for like 5 minutes, and then I was buzzed for like 4 hours.
You were messed up. Like, you were cracking me up. Like, I'm watching you, and I can see, looks on your face. I was like, oh, she's gone. She's gone. She's gone.
I was only drunk for like 5 minutes, but I was literally buzzed for like 4 hours. Like, I was feeling good for about 4 hours. But you know what's funny? That panel was so amazing. Like, they need to do more panels like that. Unfortunately, they couldn't videotape it because we were a little bit more candid and a little bit more open. And
Jason Narvi needs to do stand-up.
Oh,
like, he was so funny. Like, he came in and was like a ball of fire. He had us all cracking up. Like, he just, it was like one outrageous thing after another.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Like, laughing out loud, screaming. Like, you weren't just laughing normal laughs. You were screaming laughing. Like, red, like, you're you got to watch your nose because thought might fly out because you're laughing so hard.
That's what
happened to Erin. When she did the second shot, it, like, came out of her nose because she started laughing at something not again. And she was in pain. She was like, oh, my God, it's burning. Like, if it burns your esophagus and your stomach, can you imagine burning the inside of your nose? Oh, my God.
Y'all just got to learn how to do your bourbon, girl.
You got to do your bourbon and not look at Narvi because he'll make you laugh. he'll fucking kill you.
He is such a character.
All I remember is Turkish prison being molested by Polly and, like, me saying I had big balls and the crowd was, you know, saying that me and Walter were about to hook up, and they started singing Black and Yellow, Black and Yellow.
I know, they were kind of fresh, those kids, I
they
have
were
to say.
Fresh.
And then what you missed, in the back there was a show going on that you didn't see. Like, there was two guys that came up to you a few times, okay? And I think, I could be wrong, but I think they were homosexuals, okay? I'm almost positive. So they come into that panel.
I had the homosexuals all locked. Like, they were my best friends. Go ahead.
And I think they were homosexuals. But they were in the back. They came in the back, and they were fucking lit. I mean, they were bombed. Like, and I don't think they realized how drunk they were, and I'm like, God, is that what I do? Because they're all talking, and they're, like, wicked loud and shit, and they're, like, I think they were arguing. Like, I mean, it was just nuts, and I kept cracking up and looking at everybody. I'm like, look at those two. Like, what the hell? They're like,
what is going on?
And the one dude is bobbing and weaving. I'm like, oh, please, God, let him fall over. And then for a minute, like, they were getting a little heated. I thought they were going to start fist fighting, and I got excited. And I was about to text him and be like, bitch, there's about to be a scrapping match. Like, nobody break it up. I want to see who wins.
Right. Oh, God. See, I missed all that. I missed all of that. Like, that's funny.
They really added, too. And I was standing back there with him.
Right.
James, it was the two that came in. The one had, like, dark hair. The one had, like, blonde hair. They sat in the very back row. You would know. And I'm pretty sure they were at the Morphicon, too.
Isn't it crazy how you go to one convention and you'll see the same people in another part of the country? Like, they straight up will go from convention to convention. I don't know how you kids, I don't know how you guys can afford that. How do you do that?
They save their pennies. It amazes me because as a kid, like, I mean, I don't know that they had that kind of stuff then. I'm sure they probably did. But, like, I would have never, even to this day, you know, like, I wouldn't even try to wait in line for somebody autograph. Like, I just don't care that much.
I know.
You know, like,
I don't know that. Even, like, Barack Obama,
just be like,
you know, those are my faves.
Yeah, I was like, what the hell? So it was I don't know. Like, and it was crazy because I kept recognizing people. I'm like, Morphicon. I can't remember names, but I can remember faces. So I was like, or I know this one for the website or from your website or from wherever.
Right. Well, look, this is the thing. I know I've got lots of memories from Lexington, and I can go on and on, but I definitely want to hear from the people who were there because I know there are lots and lots of stories of people who are at Lexington. So if you have your Lexington story, please call us because we want to hear what happened. Because obviously there are things that I missed, and I'm sure there are things that you missed that I experienced, but it was amazing, an amazing convention. So, James, if anyone calls, let's put them through because I really want to hear this. Okay, here we go. Hey, caller, what's your name and where are you calling from? Hello? Hi, who is it?
Hi, my name is Derek. How are you?
Hi, Derek. I'm fabulous. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Lexington, Kentucky. I was at me and my fiance and my daughter were at the convention this weekend.
Yay! So what are your thoughts about the convention? Because I thought it was fab.
You guys are a bunch of funny motherfuckers. Oh, my God.
I love that. Why are we that funny?
When we're growing up, we was watching, like, Smurfs, and then, like, I grew up, started watching Power Rangers and so on and so forth.
Uh-huh.
It's like hearing a Smurf cuss. Like, you ever hear a Smurf cuss?
No, but I wish I could.
I know, right?
Oh, no, that shit's funny. It is funny to listen to them all swear. Like, especially, like, Catherine. She's dropped the F-bomb. It's so funny.
I know, right? And then
I
we
love
were
it.
At the,
especially out of that beautiful, pretty face of hers.
We were at the After Dark panel. And then first thing her parents sits down, she starts talking. She drops the fuck bomb and the cunt bomb, and she's like, fuck this, cunt, that.
Yeah, I was like, I was shocked that came out of her pretty little mouth. I was just like, girlfriend, I like you.
Right.
Oh, that's right. I forgot she said that. And everybody was like, and she's like, why, I can't say it?
Right. And the crowd literally was like, ooh. I couldn't believe it.
And then at the end, she took that shot and spewed everywhere. It was so funny.
And she was the one who brought in the shots. Like, that tells you how great that girl is. Like, I love her. I love her a long time.
Yeah. I love her a long time.
Yeah.
You remember me or not, but at the last Power Ranger panel, I was the guy at the very end who was like, can I get you guys to stand up and call out your powers?
Yes, I remember you.
Guy. Oh, you're the bastard.
You're the
bastard. Yeah, I'm that motherfucker.
Like, this is the thing, like, me, David, and Captain were like, ah, and then we were like, no. And then the rest of them were like, you know, they jumped up and started to do it, and we were like, oh, damn it.
I know, I'm
you
surprised
know, we completely,
you
I know, right? I this is the thing, I'll do that. I'll do the saber-tooth tiger thing, because that's easy. But when they want me to do, like, the move, the karate chop, like, kind of move, and then you go into that, no can do, because I don't think people realize, if you look at Power Rangers, go back, people, go watch Power Rangers. I did that thing, I think, one time, and then I think my stunt double did it in the costume one time. So they would use the same, like, clip of me doing that. Oh, God, I'm in Afghanistan,
like,
guys. It's just like,
girl,
yeah.
I'm like, are you in Kuwait? What's happening?
I know, I'm in Kuwait right now. I went from Lexington to Kuwait, and now I'm back, you know, sorry for the interruption.
Wait, excuse me, I expect my check run, because I know you're there making money.
Yeah, you know, I'm over here signing autographs for Osama bin Laden. So long story short, we only did it once, maybe twice, the whole time I was on Power Rangers. So if you ask me to do that, I have no idea how to do that. I would be the first to admit I don't remember. Like, I don't even know that I did it that well. I think they taught me it, and I practiced, and they just got it. Like, we just got it, because I was not a martial artist. So when people ask us to do that at conventions, I'm always like, no, because I'm not a martial artist. And I know, like, David said one time he did it, and somebody, like, posted on YouTube, like, you did it, the morpher was upside down. He was like, damn, I did it, like, almost 20 years. Like, it's been 15. It's been a long time, people. Be understanding. So that's the reason why. We weren't trying to, like, not do it. It's just that we really, like, I never had to do it more than once. So it's like, I don't really know that. You guys know way more than I do. I'm a horrible Power Ranger. Horrible Power Ranger.
No, you're good. You just need some Band-Aids.
Exactly. Karen needs Band-Aids. And just so you know, tomorrow we are announcing a big contest, because I have got the most amazing picture that is not only signed by me, it's signed by Jason David Frank, it's also signed by David Yost, it's signed by Catherine, and I think there are a couple
Walter.
People who signed it, I'm not sure. Walter.
Polly,
didn't Polly and Jason Arby, almost every, it was like the Mighty Morphin cast came out, signed the picture. They signed it for Uncensored Radio.
I'm not sure, because it's downstairs now, and I took your stupid little thing out that says your prices. I threw it in a frame and threw it up on my wall. I'm not really so sure.
No, hell to the mall, Jeffrey. That was signed specifically.
No, I'm
okay, thank you. It was signed specifically by the Mighty Morphin crew, and we are going to give it to a lucky winner. Hey, we're gonna figure out a really good hard contest, but the lucky person wins that one picture. It's the only. I don't even have a picture like this. I don't even have one. Why the hell did I get them to sign a picture for me for my own collection, Jeffrey? That's what I need to know.
I'll get it at the next. Bitch, I keep telling you to do this shit, and you don't pay attention. Yay. I was surprised you listened to me at that. Because I'm like, girl, we need to get all these bitches to sign us so we could do us a giveaway. And I love that you actually thought that I wanted to keep, like, no offense, but not really my thing. I'm not really the autograph type of boy.
I might keep that for myself and get y'all something on the next go round. No. I won't be selfish. I won't be selfish. Well, thank you for calling in. Oh, we got another caller. Hello?
Como
hi,
está?
Who is it? You talking to me?
No, we're talking to your
sister. What's your name? It's Lauren. Hi, Lauren!
Oh,
our favorite Lauren in the whole wide world. How are you, my love?
I'm good. I'm glad to know that you recovered okay from those shots.
I did. I told you. I was only drunk for about 5 minutes, but I was buzzed for about 4 hours.
sick. You don't have to be worried when you were saying
that, right?
You had, those guys were sick, man. You were starting to make it look like I did something to those shots.
Okay,
wow.
did you get those too?
She went and helped Aaron get the shots. She is part of the conspiracy of the Kentucky bourbon.
I was going to say that I roofied them, but I did not know that that joke would go over well, and then I'd be getting hate mail from fans. Like, I didn't do it.
We felt roofied because after the first bourbon shot, we were straight up like, whoa, what the hell just hit us? Like, oh, my God. And then Jason Fong had the nerve to go get another round. I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to fall. I'm not going to be able to walk out of this bitch. And Lauren was behind both sets of shots, Lauren.
Hey.
What were you thinking?
It was a good thing. Hey, and I was the one, by the way, if you don't remember, I was the one who asked the wardrobe malfunction question.
Yeah.
Talking about,
I know exactly what you asked.
Mandate, so.
See? You got me revealing my secrets and you got me drunk. Okay, I need to know, did you take that shot too?
Did I take the shot? No.
See, you roofied us. I know you roofied us. See? She started shots, but she ain't taking them with us. Next time, Lauren, you're going to be taking shots with us. You can't cut them out unless you're taking one.
Oh, yes.
See?
Look at you.
What was your favorite part about Lexington?
All the pictures that were taken of me.
Yeah, you were a hit, girl. She had, like, you had a really cool costume. Like,
she had the Tyrannosaurus costume changes. She had the Zord on. Yeah, like that, but you were constantly changing.
Zord, not Zord on, kook.
No,
she had the Zord. She had the Zord on, not the Zord on.
Oh, the Zord. I thought you said she had Zord on. I was like, she was a Zord, not the Zord on.
Power Rangers. I mean, once you signed on to our damn show, I had to go back and watch that fucking shit. I stopped and threw it on Netflix for you.
Oh, you're such a damn lie. He says fucking shit, but this guy, let me tell you, Warren, he'd call me every day. Oh, my God, I saw an episode of you. Oh, my God. Yeah, he was a fan. Don't front, Jeff.
Because I just watched it last year, bitch. It was funny because knowing you and then watching you, it's entertaining.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Lauren, I'm gonna be a little mad at you for the shot until you take a shot. I'm just going to leave it there.
Well, next time I'll do two shots to make up for not doing them this weekend. Next time we meet up, how about that?
Right. And I need you to help me do the yellowest power T-shirt, so me and Kat can both have T-shirts.
that's too easy, not hard at all.
Oh, okay. Well, we love you, Lauren, and you're fabulous, as you know, and you can call into our show anytime. You know you are my girl, even though you gave me a roofie shot of bourbon and didn't drink. I should have made you taste it. I should have been like, you drink first, then I'll drink it. See what would have happened.
Yeah. I just wanted to ask if you think you might attend Lexington next year if you get asked.
You know what? I've already been asked, and I will be there. It's actually, you know, I got that email today.
Nice.
You got? Well, I told them. I didn't really give them a choice.
I'm not going to reveal it, but did he tell you who else that he was inviting?
Oh, no. He did not tell me, but he did say.
I will shoot that to you.
You'll send
message.
It to me?
Because it's really good. It's really good. I don't know, is it who we think,
Lauren?
I'm just telling everyone that's listening, if you didn't attend Lexington this year, you want
Ooh,
to go
you
next
better
year.
Be there. Mm-hmm. You better be there.
I think I know who it is. Lauren,
I think I do too.
On Facebook page so I can go hack into that shit.
I will send it as soon as I get off the phone with you guys.
All right, Lauren. We love you long time. Okay,
and then
go ahead.
I forgot to get that picture from you. Kent couldn't make it because he had to work.
Oh, right. I'll get a picture from you.
Put your address.
Yes, and we'll mail it to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll just have you. I'll get with him and ask him what it is, and then I'll get his address to you guys. You can mail it.
Perfect.
Yeah,
we got you, girl.
Do.
You know we got you. Yeah. We got you.
Yep. All right. All
right. Love you, Mama.
Take care.
You too.
Oh,
bye.
Aaron, the conspiracy. I'm so excited. I think I know who it is, but I could be way off.
I could be way off too, but I think I know too. I don't know.
Are you thinking the same person I'm thinking?
Uh-huh. I think I am thinking the same person. Unlikely, unusual suspect.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking.
What? Hello? Hello? Hi, who is it?
Hey, this is Jake.
Hey, Jake, how are you?
Well, I'm doing good. How are you doing this fine evening?
I'm doing great. I love that accent. Are you from Lexington, Kentucky?
No, I'm actually from Pike County, Kentucky. We're like, I don't know, we're like maybe 4 or 5 hours away from Lexington, but it was absolutely awesome meeting you at the con. It really was.
Oh, it was awesome meeting you. I'm telling you right now, people from Kentucky or in and around Kentucky are amazing. People, the Lexington, the whole convention was amazing, but you guys made it amazing. So it was so awesome meeting you.
I tell you, I was so pumped to, like, meet you, and especially David Yost. I mean, he's always been my favorite. But, like, I mean, just meeting you and Walter and all those guys. It was really, really cool. But, I just want to say thanks for, you know, for being so cool. And, like, I had you sign 2 of my action figures. So I was pretty pumped. And,
I so remember you now.
Yeah.
Like,
I thought it was,
and I was right.
It's my pleasure. It was more, I got more from you guys than I think you guys got from us. You guys were lovely. It was so nice meeting you, too.
Yeah, I hope you're coming back next year.
I am going to come back next year. I told them I will be there, rain, sleet, or snow. That town was good to me, so I'll keep coming back.
And why wasn't this email forwarded to me, by the way? I'm just wondering.
Oh, sorry, manager. Sorry. Do you see, I'm a horrible client. I'm a horrible, horrible ranger and a horrible client. Well, thank you for calling.
Thank you. I'll let you guys go, but have a good night. And then, just saying thanks. And it was awesome meeting you, and I hope everything goes well.
Oh, thank you. Keep listening, because our show is crazy, and we're going to have some rangers on in the next couple weeks. So keep listening to the show.
Oh, we'll do.
Okay, bye. I'm loving all the people we met at Lexington. It's so awesome. I think we have time for one caller, one last caller.
Okay. We got We got the Coney brothers.
Hell yeah.
Oh, shit.
Hang on.
That's what up, though?
What up, though? What up?
What up?
It's the Party Central's on the line. What up?
Oh,
there
you go.
I just need to know, did y'all have Bison Burgers while y'all were there?
Hell no. We had something, but we're just going to keep that on the low.
$50 pizza? Okay, so this is the thing. You guys were leading the party crew. I need to know what happened that Saturday night, because I heard some stories.
First of all, can we not get that reputation real fast?
Right.
Oh, you got it. I'm so sorry, but you were with Blake, Jason Fott, and Lord and Walter, so you got it.
After everybody left, we went downstairs into that food court area, and there's like a bar down there. And the bartender was like, I bartended another bar. And he was telling me stories about how y'all came. I got some shit on you, bitches.
All I know is Jason Fong, we were waiting for our plane, and he goes, all I know is somebody told me that I was yelling, I got money, bitch. I got money.
God, Jason was wild, man. He was out
there.
He didn't even remember saying that, and I was we were dying. Me and David Yost were on the ground dying because they were telling us that Jason was saying that.
I'm gonna tell you exactly how it happened. So the
tell us, spill the beans.
The club owner opened up the VIP to us, and I'm like, our drinks ran out, and I'm like, yo, Jason, let's go upstairs and get some drinks. And he like looks upstairs, and he just looks at me and is like, it's so far. And I was like, dude, it's free drink. They're hooking us up. And he turns to me like, hey, bitch, I got money. He just throws his hands up and starts yelling. Everyone's looking around at us. And I'm like, hey, what's this, man? You look about to buy like 10 people drinks right now. So go ahead.
I'm going to tell you about Jason. Like, that's the one dude that when me and Aaron met him at the first Morphicon, we thought he was the most clean cut, kind of square dude in the world.
Yeah, not so much, right?
I mean, he's the most turned up, like crazy dude I have ever. He'll sideswipe you. We're like, dude, you more crazy than us. I'm like, dog. But he
was
fun, man. We had so much fun with him.
Oh, that's awesome. See, that's good. See, that's the thing I love about these conventions and, like, love about, like, you guys, we met you guys at one point. Like, I met you guys, what, 3-4 years ago, whatever it was. And
yeah.
It's like we've all gotten to know each other. We all stay in touch. We're all good friends now. And it's like
yeah.
you actually get to know us as people as opposed
right.
to mm-hmm. us as a character. Like, our, you know, it's like real friendships here. So
right. yeah.
I was very glad to see you crazy guys there. I know I was, like, not really hanging as much as I normally would, but I was very happy to see
uh-huh.
you guys. I'm glad you guys came. And I'm glad we got some time to kind of hang at the convention.
Yeah, but next time we're going to get you and Jeffrey turned up, too.
Oh, I was turned up. Y'all should have been at the 18 and over convention because I was doing shots of bourbon with Jason Vaught and Aaron. You see, y'all were at the wrong thing. Like, y'all should have kept. It was hilarious.
Man.
After that, I didn't need to do nothing else.
He was there, but he was throwing up.
Yeah, he was throwing up bad.
Yeah, he was supposed to be there. Like, I was like, where's Blake? Where's Blake? I think I even texted him, like, where the hell are you? That's funny. Wow. Well, it's not funny.
He doesn't really like to do panels like the 18 and up ones that much because he's like, he's going to say something stupid and get in trouble. But he was excited about this one, and
yeah.
he just felt terrible. The bathroom just puking out. Like, it's...
Oh, you guys are good friends. Did y'all hold his hair? I mean, y'all are good friends to even sit through all that.
Oh, we didn't do all that.
That y'all got it for him with a cold press? I mean, good Lord. I don't
nah.
I would have to leave him. I would have had to bone out, be like, Blake, I'll see you later.
Yeah, me and Norm was in another room. Like, you be all right. Cough it up. Go
yeah.
ahead.
I ain't going to catch no swine flu over that shit.
Horrible.
Yeah.
Are y'all doing more conventions?
Yes, yes. I am confirmed for sure for a Houston. I'm confirmed for the New Orleans convention. I'm also confirmed for Atlanta. So, and then
oh.
I've got some other things in the works. So, it's July, August, it's going to get turned up again. So,
we're going to see what we can do about getting you guys up to Detroit. We're going to have to work them out.
Yeah. For real,
yeah,
this
yeah.
is the thing, though. You just got to get all the, because you guys are connected in the Power Ranger world. If there's a convention in Detroit, all you got to do is get all of those people to start emailing them. And trust me, we'll get a phone call, and next thing you know, we'll be there. That's how
yeah,
it works.
I'm going to add up my email, and let me know what you can get her booked on, and we'll talk.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to be at the Houston Space City Con, so I'll see you guys out there for sure.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Yeah, so that'll be good because, you know, that's my hometown. I've got lots of friends
mm-hmm.
in Texas. So, well, not my hometown, but my home state. But I got
right.
a lot of people in Texas, so it'll be nice.
When is that one? I don't even know when that one is.
First week in August,
August
2nd.
I got too many birthdays going on in that month. I can't do nothing.
Oh, shit. Well, you know what, guys? We're close to the end of our show, but thank you for calling. You guys continue to listen to the
Thanks
show. I know you do. So,
no
absolutely.
Problem.
Love
Appreciate
seeing
you,
you this past weekend. Get
yeah,
some rest, because I know y'all are still recovering, too.
There we are.
That's an understatement.
Ain't it? Those right, guys, we got the convention hangover. It's not a good look.
Nah,
that one.
It's not good. All right, we'll talk to you guys later. Bye. If
all
you
right,
guys need any graphic design, the Cooney Brothers or who you need to mess with, hit them up on Facebook.
All right, they're in the chat room, so put your business out
yes.
there, boys.
Yes, that, yes. They've got an amazing luck. Graphic artist business. They're amazing. Blake uses them. I've used them. Many Rangers have used them. So if you've got graphic artists, if you need stuff like that, they can definitely help you. We've got a lot of really talented people that listen to the show.
So I hacked into your account.
Yes. What?
As I tend to do. And
damn
I retrieved the message.
Ooh.
It is. Who I
think
we're thinking.
It is who we, yeah, we got to be quiet about it probably because that's probably their big official announcement. But what
I
we can
know.
Do is have Jared on the show to make that announcement. So
yeah, for sure.
Wowzer. Okay, so tomorrow, guys, remember, we're going to be announcing a contest, a huge contest. Katrina Johnson is working her fingers to the bone coming up with this contest, and we are going to announce it tomorrow, and you could be the very owner of an amazing group photo. Because you didn't go to Lexington, you still can win. We love you. Long time. I'm sure we'll talk about Lexington again tomorrow.
Mm.
Good night.